Welcome back to episode 20. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Curtis.
And this is Partners in Crime. And that was Curtis's text tone, which I tell him every time to shut your sound off.
This isn't a movie theater.
It ought to be.
I know, the way you eat popcorn.
Wow. I love popcorn. I eat popcorn every day.
Yeah, I can't forget her Parmesan cheese.
We haven't had any. It's really just a disgrace.
Pretty sure there's none on the grocery shelves.
Is that one of the things that they're shorting out on?
I believe so, actually.
That's...
Tonight on Conspiracy Theories, why your shelves are bare.
Right? I got a long case for us today.
Oh.
But before we jump into it, how was your week?
It's been a week. I went to the Lions game in Maryland over the weekend. And
you almost got beat up by some Ravens fans.
It was
they were mad
really
that the Ravens
awkward.
Won.
Yeah, like the one dad kept getting like super angry every time that a call didn't go in his favor, and he was screaming, and I don't know, I really thought that guy was trying to fight because he kept talking about me wearing Lions gear, so I was just kind of glad to leave.
Well, yeah, if you wore Lions gear to a home game for the Ravens, you're out of place.
No, this was like over the top, I swear. I've never witnessed anything like it.
Allegedly over the top.
I could have been on this podcast, you recording by yourself again.
Wow. It was that was a good episode. Have you listened to it?
No, I usually let you do your lone thing by yourself.
You're stupid. Okay. My week was good. My sister got married, I think, what was it, three?
Like
I'm kidding.
Three weeks
I'm not
going
to keep saying it.
What do you mean?
I just said that like the last two times. It was good. I got my nails done today. And they look really good. And I put some green in my hair.
I thought you were going to say what was on your nails.
No. Because I don't really think it looks like it. It just looks like an eye. But they did it like with a magnet, so...
So she got cat eyes put into her nail, and when she told me through a text message, I thought she meant, like, she stuck her fingers through some cat eyes, and I thought it was really strange. I didn't know what was going on.
That is not even... I sent it to you on Snapchat, and you said there was a glare.
I didn't know what was going on with them.
Anyways, I got my nails done today, and we're going to be doing some, like, trick-or-treating, trunk-or-treating this weekend, and... it's gonna be fun. So that's what's new with us. If you guys care, maybe you don't. We'll get to the case. We're only 3 minutes in. Sorry.
Wow.
All right.
What a waste of their time.
Have you ever heard of? I'm not gonna ask you.
Wow. Yeah, 'cause I probably haven't.
It was in Minnesota. You know anything about Minnesota?
Oh yeah, actually.
Cool.
I can't wait to hear about this.
Okay. So on May 14th, 2008, Brandon Swanson, a 19-year-old Minnesota native, is out celebrating because the semester at Minnesota West Community and Technical College had come to a close.
Oh, I remember this. This was all over the news.
What were you doing in 2008?
Graduating.
So you weren't watching the news.
Why would you say that?
What happened to him?
Well, I just wanted to say that I guess I don't know.
Oh my, anyways.
I was just saying it because you wouldn't ask if I knew.
Yeah, I didn't want to. He was enrolled in a wind turbine program, which was there wind turbines already like established in 2008? Or are those fairly new?
Yes.
Okay, well, they're just popping up everywhere in Michigan now, so.
It's true.
I thought they were new.
They're replacing like those, they remind me of like the Holland like Dutch windmills.
Yeah, but they're like
way bigger.
They're awful, like they're just eerie looking too. Anyways.
You know what always bothers me?
Like, is that
when I look at them?
Is that they look like they're from Courage the Cowardly Dog?
Kinda, yeah. I've never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
But you know how like when you're watching it spin And like if it hits a bird, it'll kill that bird right away.
Yeah.
But when you're watching it, it doesn't even look like it's spinning that fast.
Yeah.
Like you could watch it and that thing could be at like max speed. And it literally looks like you could run faster than the blade.
So he was enrolled in a wind turbine program. And it was almost summer. And what better way for a teenage college student to celebrate than with other fellow teenage college students? So after a night of celebrating, he was on his way home and he drove his car unintentionally into a ditch. Witnesses at the party that he attended can recall that they saw him drinking and smoking, but not enough to have been overly intoxicated. The parties that he attended, because there was like two, I think there was two or three, like there was different conflicting information on different sources. They were located in Canby, Minnesota. He lived in Marshall, Minnesota, which according to Apple Maps is roughly 35 to 45 minutes driving, depending on the route taken. And this was a familiar route for Brandon.
Did you actually look that up?
I did.
That's like really impressive.
I triangulated like all of the, there's like multiple locations in this. And I'm going to post screenshots on the Instagram so that you guys can get an idea of where he was at this night and like why none of it makes sense.
Post office is about to be mad.
Why?
I'm going to call and make sure that you're resigned. Then I'm going to call the police department and tell them that you should come on as an investigator. Over here, Apple mapping.
I'm sorry. I would love to be a detective. I would love it. I would love it.
I bet you would.
It would be like, anyways. So this was a familiar route taken by Brandon because he drove to and from school. But this particular night, he chose not to take the route that would be faster, aka the highway, and he chose to take the back roads, which thinking about this as like an underage college student, he was probably avoiding other cars and most likely cops. And he reached the 3900 block of Lyon Lincoln Road, and then he suddenly swerved off the road into the previously mentioned ditch in his Chevy Lumina. And this was around 12:30 a.m. What are you looking at me for?
I'm just thinking, like, he's a teenage boy. Of course he wants to take the back roads.
Okay. Anyways, so he wrecks his car. And it's not like his car is not, like, damaged. Like, he's in a ditch. He can't get it back out. Okay?
Okay, so he's still able to walk?
Yeah, he's totally fine. So around 2 a.m., so he wrecks at 12:30-ish. 2 a.m., he calls his parents and he lets them know that he was uninjured, but that he had basically high-centered his car. So, like, the back wheels wouldn't touch the ground.
Oh, how embarrassing.
Oh, really?
What?
That's rude. He was drinking at a party. He was probably just a little intoxicated.
You're not supposed to drink and drive. It's the law.
I'm totally joking.
Oh my gosh, I thought you were being serious.
And that he was like dead serious. Anyways, so he calls his parents, which is the right thing to do. He was in need of a ride from said parents, okay? So he explained to his parents that the location was near the city Lind, which, okay, so he's driving southeast from Canby to Marshall, okay? Lind, where he thinks he's at, is southwest of Marshall. So, like, somewhere along the lines, he took a wrong turn, and he's in the area that he, like, is not supposed to be in, but it's not, it's, like, maybe 10 minutes from Marshall, so it's not far. So he's, like, telling his parents where he's at. So, and I'm going to show, I have screenshots to post on Instagram, but I'm just going to show them to Curtis so he has, like, an idea of where all these places are at, okay? You see where Lind is at, where it's like southwest of Marshall.
Yeah.
And now Marshall is southeast of Canby. Yes. Got it? Okay. So now that we have, like, you know, our directions, he explains to his parents that he's near Lind and that he could see lights in the distance of the city. So that's where he thinks that, that's why he thinks he's where he's at. Okay. So he's like very sure that he's there and he can see the lights. So his parents obviously are going to come get him. His parents are Annette and Brian Swanson. They get into their pickup truck and they begin the drive to where Brandon is broke down. They kept him on the phone, but the phone like was not cooperating and they kept like disconnecting. But they end up, for the most part, staying on the phone with Brandon. They reach the location that Brandon was explaining to them, and Brandon's not there. And he's like, yes, I am here. And they're like, well, we don't see you. And he's like, well, I'm here. So, like, where are you? And they're like, well, we're here. And everybody's here, but nobody's there. Okay? So they kept him on the phone, and Brandon, he was positive that he was where he was saying he was at. They said he sounded like he was, like, with it. He didn't sound disoriented, but they can't see each other. So Brian's like, I'm going to start flashing my lights of my truck. You flash your lights, and when we see each other's lights, we'll know where we're at, okay? So Brandon began signaling as well, and neither of them saw each other's flashing lights. So, I mean, I don't know, like, about you, but if you ever been on the phone with somebody trying to explain to them where you're at or where they're at, and like there's just a really big miscommunication and you start getting like angry.
No, I'm like a perfect communicator.
Okay, so you understand.
I totally get it.
So the tensions very obviously begin to rise because it's like late, they're tired, he's wrecked. He's like, I don't understand like what the problem is. He's like, he's getting mad. So he hangs up on his mom.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, dang, dude, you don't hang up on your mom. But she calls him back to apologize. Her mom, the mom was like, I'm sorry, like for upsetting you. Like, anyways, girl, anyways.
Moms don't apologize.
Yes, they do. He told his parents that he would just walk to the town that he could see in the distance. He said he was sure that the town was Lynde and that he would just meet them at one of his friend's house that lived there. Like I said, it's like 10 minutes from where his parents live. Brian decided to drive his wife back home and let her go back to bed. But like, let's be real. She's not going back to sleep until her baby is home. Like, that's just a mom thing. And he leaves the house to go pick up Brandon and Lynde after dropping her off at home. And during this time, Brandon is walking and he's still on the phone with his dad. And Brian drops Annette off. And this like whole phone call that they're on right now, like in the time of like him dropping off the wife and staying on the phone, starts at 2:23 a.m. Okay. So it's like,
but I thought he hung up.
Yeah, but she called back.
Okay.
To apologize.
I didn't think that, like, he picked up when she called back to apologize.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he picked up. So they're, like, talking on the phone. Mom's at the house now. And Brandon begins describing to his dad, like, all of his surroundings. He was walking along a fence line. He could see the lights of the town approaching. And at 3:10 a.m., Brandon abruptly shouted, oh, S word, which we don't cuss on this podcast.
You just do it to our son and then he repeats you.
Goodbye. Anyways, so he said, oh, S, basically, like, oh, crap, like, oh, shoot. That's what we say.
Wow. O-S-H-I.
Yeah. And then there was just silence. Like, he was unresponsive at that point. So Brian was not sure, like, what he should do or, like, what his son was doing on the other end of the phone and lost in the middle of the night. So he hangs up and redials Brandon's number, thinking that, like, if he dropped his phone, it would light up and yeah, he'd be able to find it. Okay, so he ends up calling him back several times. Like, several times. And that would have been the last time he ever heard from Brandon.
How sad.
I know. 19 years old. They're trying to find him. Brandon's getting upset. They're getting upset.
Is this like recent?
This is in 2008, like I said at the beginning. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think, like you're saying, they're searching for him. Like, they're still looking for him.
They are.
They're still looking for him 15 years later.
Anyways, we'll get to it. So, Yeah, so that'll be the last time that they had ever heard from Brandon. They make contact with the friend that Brandon was supposed to be going to, like his house, and that friend had not heard from Brandon, nor had he seen Brandon. They drove up and down the rural roads in Lynn and, like, leading outside of Lynn towards Canby, where he had left from. They just didn't find anything. So 3 hours after the last time they talked to him, around 6:30 a.m., the Swansons go to the police to report Brandon is missing. They're initially just dismissed by police, and police told the upset and worried parents that this was not unusual behavior for a young man. They advised the Swansons to just sit patient and that he'd eventually come home on his own. One officer even made the statement that, quote, "It's his right to be missing," end quote.
Wow.
Like, hello, he went missing while being lost after he wrecked his car. Like, this was not like he just didn't want to come home. He was actively trying to get back home to his parents. So that's frustrating. The police finally take them seriously just later that afternoon, and they join in the search for missing 19-year-old Brandon. On the afternoon of the 14th, they were able to search the phone records, and they ping his last location near Porter, Minnesota. Okay?
Okay.
This is about a 9-mile drive, or 9-minute drive from Canby, okay? So, like, he had been driving so long that he thought that he was in Lynd.
Wow.
Okay, he was in Porter. Do you see where Canby is in Porter? It's like a 9-mile stretch there. Yeah. It's not far. Okay, so that's where they found his car. And so that's weird. Like, that's really weird. He was so convinced that he was near Lynd. And like I said, they said he did not sound disoriented. Lynd was 40 minutes away from where the party was at. And it was, like I said, just southwest of Marshall, where he was going home to. By a field near the Lyon and Lincoln County lines, they found Brandon's wrecked and abandoned car, which I'm sure at the same time that was a huge relief, no matter how strange and the other pieces of information were with the timing of things not really adding up. I'm sure his mom was like relieved when they found the car because she was like, okay, now we can at least look for him in this area. So Lyon County Sheriff Jess Vizacki describes the car as being on sort of a sharp incline, but nothing major, just enough that the car would be too high off the ground to get any traction. No alcohol, no drugs were found in the vehicle. Nothing looked unusual about the car, nothing out of place, no blood, no indication of a struggle. But they were also unable to locate any footprints to guess in which direction Brandon would have taken off on foot towards. The cell phone towers were proven to be actually very useful, and they continued to attempt to call Brandon well into the next day as his phone was still, like, ringing, but there was no answer. So they used the pings off of the nearby tower to really narrow down in on where his last, like, known whereabouts were at. They narrowed in on an area that matched where his last pings were located, and they began searching all over that area. Once it began, there were dogs that picked up on his scent, hundreds of volunteers searching the area by foot, and air surveillance. There was a search team dedicated to searching the Yellow Medicine River, as there was some speculation that he could have tripped and fallen into the river, being overtaken by the really strong currents in that area. The dogs actually picked up on his scent and discovered that it did not end at the river, that he had actually made it across the river. So, like, he, like, waded his way through, basically. But I also, in another source, found that, like, that river wasn't super deep. It was the currents that were dangerous.
Yeah, the currents were always...
Yeah. So I don't know, like, what the weather was or whatever. It was in May, so I don't know. Anyways, they pick up on his scent on the other side of the river, and they continue the scent trail north up the riverbank towards Yellow Medicine County line. This is where the trail suddenly ends. Even years later, the search team still sift through that area. Like, the last known search through that area specifically was in 2021. They look for any remains of Brandon that they can find, but they have been unsuccessful. A dog team had picked up on his scent by a nearby farm, and the scent was discovered near the farm equipment, but the farmer refuses to let them search the property, and they can't trespass due to having, like, farm animals and, like, doing an extensive search on a farm is likely going to damage the crops. Just in the case that, like, they don't find him, like, farmers already, like, don't make that much money anyways, so they just weren't willing to. They said that
doesn't even make sense.
They said they would look around, and if they saw anything, they'd call.
Why wouldn't they get a warrant?
They had no probable cause.
They have probable cause if they catch the scent that was caught somewhere else.
Doesn't they said that was not probable cause.
Being suspicious, saying no, you can't look.
Yes, but refusing a search, a voluntary search, is not make you suspicious by itself.
I'm not gonna lie, I was like, this is the first podcast that is possibly not even a murder. Like, he could have said that because he's out, like, by the woods, and a bear got him and dragged him through the woods.
So, I mean, I'll get into the theories.
Oh, there's theories. I like
this. Oh, yeah. This is
everybody's favorite part of the podcast.
Anyways.
Welcome to the Conspiracy Corner.
Goodbye. I guess we don't need your part for it then.
Wow.
So, without probable cause, like I said, they can't really push through it. It's important to note that due to a childhood eye injury, Brandon was legally blind in his left eye, leaving him to have a depth perception issue. He had to wear glasses for this condition, but for unknown reasons, on the night of his disappearance, he left his glasses in the car.
Interesting.
Right. That's weird, too. Additionally, it was just under... excuse me. It was just under 40 degrees that night, so it's possible that Brandon could have succumbed to hypothermia, especially if he fell into the river or walked through the river. Despite the fact that he had been drinking that night, his parents were adamant that his son sounded perfectly lucid but alarmed during their phone call. Sheriff Whalen stated in 2023 that tips are still coming in. Within the last year, he said that the sheriff's office had received new information pertaining to the night Brandon went missing and the events leading up to his disappearance. This included third-hand claims that Brandon got into an argument with someone around the time that he was last seen, like at the party. Right. None of these tips have panned out, unfortunately. Quote, it seems that every tip that we receive, we investigate and we run into a dead end, end quote. Basically, it's just like false information, inaccurate information, or it just doesn't end up going anywhere. Besides his car, not one piece of physical evidence related to Brandon has been found. His keys, his cell phone, and his clothes have never been recovered.
Wow.
Yeah. Brian and Annette Swanson never forgot the nonchalant attitude that they encountered from law enforcement when they first reported their son missing. Knowing firsthand how crucial it is in a missing person's case to start investigating as soon as possible, they wanted to spare families from having to deal with this nightmare. So they became advocates, lobbied for the passing of what would become known as Brandon's Law, which requires law enforcement to immediately begin preliminary investigation when an adult goes missing under dangerous circumstances, regardless of their age. The bill went into effect and signed by Governor Tim Pawlenty on May 7th, 2009, and went into effect on July 1st of 2009. Sorry.
That's crazy, though. That wasn't just like a common sense
rule. No. They usually make you wait 24 hours. Before you can even report someone missing.
Dangerous situation.
Yeah. But because he went missing while they were on the phone with him.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you would think it's common sense. Like, oh, this is an abnormal situation.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, well,
he's probably fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad. So while the trail followed by one of the dogs went to the Yellow Medicine River, and despite her son's last known words, Annette Swanson does not think that he drowned. After following the scent to water, the dog continued up across the other side and along the riverbank to another gravel road where it continued north towards the Yellow Medicine County line and ended. Quote, there's really nothing to indicate that he's in the river, is what she told CNN. Brian Swanson also recalls that any alcohol his son had consumed earlier in the evening, notwithstanding, he did not seem disoriented or confused during their phone conversations. If Swanson is still alive, there are other possibilities, although they appear remote. He could have intentionally disappeared, but his parents do not believe he would have done that. The sheriff said that he could not rule out foul play, even though there is no evidence of it. Someone could have been in the shadows, and they got him that way. So some of the theories are, I'm going to pull them up here. So some of the theories that we have are voluntary disappearance, that he is totally alive and well. He's living in a different location under a different alias. However, this scenario is extremely unlikely. He went missing while he was on the phone with his parents.
I was going to say, it seems strange.
Another one is that he had a mental breakdown, which also does not seem like a plausible cause because, again, he was on the phone with his parents.
Yeah.
An accident, which to me, this one feels a little bit more realistic, but also still not likely because at this point, if he had drowned, his body at this point would have been recovered. It would have surfaced now. They would have found it while they were doing all their other searches. They searched more areas. Basically, his phone was still on for 2 full days after he went missing. So if he fell in the river, his phone probably would have shut off.
Right.
I mean,
they weren't really like waterproof then.
Suicide is another theory, which is not a plausible scenario because
it makes sense if he screamed that.
He was on the phone with his parents. So like no matter what was going on at the end of the day, he called his parents because he needed help.
Right.
And then the last theory is what I feel like is what happened. Okay.
Okay.
This is what I think because his scent was found on farm equipment. Okay.
Okay.
Homicide. Even unintentional homicide.
Like he broke onto the property and the farmer killed him?
No. So I actually haven't thought that, but that could be
something. Well, yeah, because something. The farmer won't let them go on the property.
But what a lot of people think is that he had passed out in the field and, like, died of hypothermia. And then during harvesting, when the plows went through, it basically just shredded him.
I feel like they would have found his body before then.
It shreds them. They,
I'm not saying it's not going
so
to.
So they, there was videos of like a deer getting hit by one of these plowers, and it's just like ribbons. Like you couldn't tell the difference. For
what's like, the time frame of his harvest time? And
it was May, and they harvest in the fall, right, and then so the fall like, is when the scent was picked up by the plow, by the farm equipment, not by the plow, by the farm.
Oh,
equipment.
I was like by the plow. Geez.
Yeah, no, by the plow, I keep saying the plow. Maybe it was a plow. I don't know. It was farm equipment. Is when the scent was picked up on the farm equipment was in the fall. And that's when the point when the farmers were like, no, we haven't seen anything.
Yeah, that seems kind of suspicious.
Suspicious. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Or as the kids would say, that seems sus.
It is sus. Guy. I mean, to me, like, because what's weird, though, is that they never found anything.
Yeah.
They never found anything.
It's kind of weird.
But he never... I don't think he crossed over any fences into any farms because he was like walking through the river. He was walking along the river.
There's so many things like pigs will eat anything. So, I mean,
I know, but
I'm
just
trying to think it's a farmer and I thought it was a bear.
Are there bears in Minnesota?
Yeah.
Like grizzly bears?
I'm sure. Let's look it up.
Okay. We can look it up. Okay. So I looked it up and, also, you guys probably got an ad in there, so thanks for listening to the ads because they help support our podcast. But I did look it up, and if it says on Google that if you live in Minnesota, you live in bear country.
Wow. I
guess but that's a... black bears, not grizzly bears.
Oh. Well, there's a fun fact Friday brought to you by Tactical Trash Out.
Oh, my gosh. It says that the black bear is an iconic species... usually associated with Minnesota's northern woods. So, but black bears are not super, like, aggressive like a grizzly bear would be. I don't know. But I also feel like they'd find something, like clothes or, like, his cell phone or his keys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not really feeling like a bear would be like the likely source of this missing person's case, which is just weird. Like, it's like you're so it's like that dream, like where you want to like swing at somebody and your arms are like jello. or like you want to start running, but your legs won't move. But they were on the phone with him and he just was gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just messes with my head. Makes me sad. So, anyways, that is the story of missing person Brandon Swanson and how, like, all of the mysterious things that went along with it. So, that's it.
That's crazy.
So, I guess we're probably about to get crazier going into Curtis's conspiracy corner. Yeah. So anyways, what do you got for us today?
Okay, so as some of you may know, we live in Michigan.
We do.
And did you see recently that during the Michigan State game, did you see this?
I don't watch football.
Oh, this is crazy.
Or basketball.
So they
or
had
baseball,
like trivia up on hockey. The board.
Uh-huh.
And so they put up a picture of Adolf Hitler.
Okay.
And then said, like, what country did Adolf Hitler grow up in?
Didn't he grow up in Sweden?
No, he grew up in Austria.
Austria, that's what it was. Yeah.
Sorry. That was weird. So they put that up on the board, like, on a major sporting event. It was, like, on national TV and everything.
Was that before or after the war in Israel started?
This is after. This is, like, this past weekend.
Weird. That's weird.
Right, because everybody's, like, comparing it to the Holocaust or whatever. Yeah.
Well, so, they try to compare it to, like, 9/11, but yeah. It's actually 37 times worse than 9/11 in based on population comparisons.
So, Michigan State fired this guy 3 days ago, like, the one that put that up.
Okay.
Which, well-deserved, because, wow, I've been a State fan my whole life. And
fired the guy who made that trivia question.
But there's so much going on with Michigan State, like, it's really getting hard to still like Michigan State.
Okay.
Says a lot. Anyway, so today's myth is about the Holocaust, which is what brought me to that.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. So, this is kind of crazy. So, you know the people that think that, like, the Holocaust did not happen?
We just talked about this last week, yes.
I know, that's what I've been thinking about, and the Holocaust is, like, in a huge topic, so I was like, you know what, why not? So, between 1941 and 1945, 6 million Jews were killed.
Yes.
And so, it's kind of crazy, like, a bunch of people do not believe that the Holocaust ever happened.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
Even though there's documented events, eyewitness testimonies.
There's people with the tattoo still.
Yes. So, I've never known this, but there's actually a section of people who think that the Holocaust might have happened. But it's just, like, really grossly over-exaggerated, too.
So they don't think that many people were, like, killed?
Yes.
Okay.
So, in 2014, there was a survey coordinated by the Anti-Defamation League of more than 53,000 people across 100 countries. So, 100 different countries, like...
50 million
256
people.
256 countries in the world. It's almost half the world.
Okay.
At that point.
50 million people across half the world.
Yes.
Okay.
Only 30%. Only 30. Believe that the accounts were accurate.
So that's 70%. Only like... if we put that into the whole world perspective, that would be 15% of the world. Thinks that it was accurate.
No, that would still be 30% because it takes it as like a group whole. So if you were to multiply it out and out and out, it would still be 30%.
Okay.
So
it's not like thinks that it was accurate?
Yes, 30% believe it to be accurate. So over 70% of the world, well, I guess not over, but 70% of the world, based upon this survey, would say that it never happened like they say it did.
Okay.
So, that's pretty crazy to me, because I never imagined it to be that high.
Of people not thinking it happened, or people thinking it wasn't accurately reported?
No, the people that don't think it's accurate, like, I know we've talked about it before, but we went to a Holocaust museum. We were not, like, in the same class or anything like that. but they had Holocaust survivors that like tell you about their accounts of when they were hiding in Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
And they do have the tattoos on their wrist. Like,
I don't think so. I think this, like, this is my, so 6 million people, that's a lot of people. Okay.
Yep.
I don't think that they were all Jews.
What do you mean?
I think that they just, I think a lot of them, I think a good majority of them were Jews, but I think that there were some people that were just thrown in, like, by mistake.
There's a reason I'm asking you. Why do you think that?
I just think that by mistake, they may have been thrown in. I mean, there was a war going on.
Do you know what designates a Jew? Like, do you know how, like, maybe it's not a, an American it's a Jew, race. But, like, it is a race. You know what they look like?
Dark hair.
Yep.
Like, olive skin.
Yes.
And I don't know.
Blue eyes. That is a huge thing. So that's really? How they start. Yeah.
See, I thought because like Hitler had a fascination with blonde hair, yes. Blue-eyed kids.
Yes. And the crazy part is Hitler.
Hitler had was
black
Jewish.
Hair and brown eyes.
He was Jewish. His
Hitler
mom was
not Jewish. She's from Austria.
His mom was Jewish.
No.
Yeah. Look that up too.
I'm about to look it up right now. I've never.
I'm actually almost like, I'm like 99% positive he was.
Was Hitler's mom and dad related is the top search.
Really?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So, he was not Jewish by, this is what this says. According to New Eastern Europe, Adolf Hitler was not of Jewish descent, but the result of inbreeding. So I guess it had been theorized that he was a Jew. So I guess I take that back. I guess I just believed a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, that kind of happens with like misinformation. That's what I'm saying though. Like, there's 70% of the people out there that don't even know the true facts.
Yeah, so this, like, this is Holocaust Museum in Houston, and it's got facts about the Holocaust in it, and it says that Jewish people, this is like the third fact on this page, Jewish people were not the only victims of the Nazis. Other victims of Nazi mass murder included Roma and Sinti, people with disabilities, Poles, Jehovah's Witness, gay people, and Soviet prisoners of war. This is what this is. I'm reading this off the website.
Yeah.
So, a common statistic. This is a documenting numbers. This is a fact, according to this museum. A common statistic claims that 11 million people were murdered by the Nazis. 6 million of those people were Jews. 5 million were other people.
Wow.
While the number of 6 million Jews is supported by evidence, the other 5 million is not. It was invented by the Nazi hunter Simon, I don't even know how to pronounce that last name, Wiesenthal. When the Nazis came to power in 1933, Jewish people made up less than 1% of the German population. And the Nazis came to power legally. Like, voted in. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all fear-driven.
Of the 6 million Jewish people who were murdered in the Holocaust, 1.5 million of them were children. That is so sad to me.
You want to know the saddest part to me is?
What?
You ready for the hottest correlation drop of 2023?
Yeah.
I remember growing up and multiple people saying they didn't think the Holocaust happened or they can't believe that it happened.
Like, they know it happened, but they don't like to think about it happening?
Yes.
Okay.
Essentially, because they believe that if the Holocaust were happening today, that they would save the Jews, that nobody would allow that to happen to them, that they would always choose the right side of society. But tell me why during
COVID. I know you're lying.
Everybody's ratting their neighbor out. Yeah, I think they should die. Oh, Susan's not wearing a mask, so Susan needs to burn. Oh, Karen's over there wearing two masks. She thinks she's better than everybody else. Everybody was going back and forth, trying to rat people out, calling the police. My neighbor's not wearing a mask. And you're telling me
my so-and-so is out walking his dog or
yeah, during times that they're not supposed to be out there. So you're telling me...
I remember people being, like, physically removed from grocery stores.
The Holocaust only happened 80 years ago.
Dang.
We haven't even made it an entire century, and people still thought that they were better than they were back 80 years ago. And it's probably even worse today because everybody's so nosy.
That's so crazy. I don't know. All I can say is I'm a part of this, of the statistic of people that did better, because I did not care what anybody was doing.
Right.
I did not care. Like, if you didn't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. If you wanted to wear one, wear one.
We just lost like half of our client or whatever listeners here.
I did what I needed to do, and other people could do what they need to do, and that was that.
Now we got listeners over here wearing masks all over their ears because they're afraid to hear this.
Don't say that.
You don't say that.
Don't say that. I don't care if people wear a mask.
Mask
I mean,
up.
I know a lot of people are like, oh, they're wearing a mask in their car. I don't care if people wear a mask in their car. Would I do it? No.
No, it'd be really, like, a lot more comfortable for those people as if they, like, thought about it. And then they took masks and put them over their air vents.
That's a really smart idea.
Thanks. Like a filtration system.
Then they'd be able to, even like the cabin air filter in their car already.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
Like they have one dangling from the mirror, like ready to put it back on. I'm about to see the world.
The people of like COVID that I did judge were the ones that would wear their mask around their chin. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, what side of this are you on?
No, I totally got that one, actually. Not the ones that still do it today and wear it around their chin, but back then I got it because they'd like try to force you to go into every store
with a mask.
And you had to have a mask on, but originally it never said how the mask had to be on. So there was no stipulation about over the nose or anything. Then they put out their regulated non-judicial laws, I guess. They tried to act like it was
It was the emergency the emergency COVID regulations or whatever it was.
Yeah, when good old Stretchin put that out, so
anyways. So that was like national. Anyway, that was CDC. Anyways, like I get like COVID was serious and everything. Like I get that. A lot of people did not make it with COVID, but like I just still see people wearing, like a lot of people are still very afraid of COVID.
And it's back on the rise again. We have a whole election next year.
It's so diluted now, though, that like they...
No, they're saying the new strain is actually like really strong again. Somehow, for the first time in history, a virus started to die off and then come back even stronger.
Okay. So, not to be like, whatever, but I did... in a science class here, that we would eventually reach a point in time where we had superbugs. And they are going to be resistant to everything. Everything. Like, if you look at it, like, we already have super lice. We already have super, like, infections that are antibiotic resistant, like MRSA, staph infections. Those are superbugs.
You know what this sounds like to me?
What?
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have the rights to this song.
Yeah, no, it is. Anyways, I don't really care to talk about COVID. It's
well, we were supposed to be talking about the Holocaust, but you changed it to COVID.
I did not change it to COVID. You brought up.
I know.
Ratting out on your neighbors.
Or hottest correlation, 2023.
Anyways, let's just collectively be glad that the pandemic was declared over in July of this year.
Yep, but by December they're saying. Because we're still in the conspiracy corner. By December, we're back to full COVID regulations.
Okay.
You heard it here, October 23rd.
I will say there were some benefits to COVID that I appreciated.
Oh my gosh. The 6 foot distance?
Nobody got in your bubble.
Oh, I love that. I wish we could go back to that.
Nobody came to your house.
That's fair.
Number three, like... people just minded their own business a lot more, and I liked that. The only thing that, like, oh, also, like, I don't know, we got, like, this Michigan pandemic food card like all over Michigan. I don't know if other states did it, but we did. And they basically just gave us like free money for food. And let me just tell you about inflation
Oh my
and how
gosh.
helpful those cards were. So shout out to
Gretchen Wieners.
PEBT,
Oh.
Pandemic Electronic Benefit Transaction, whatever the EBT stands for.
Do you know that our governor, her father was the inventor of the toaster strudel?
Are you talking about? You're so
Gretchen
stupid.
Wieners.
You're so stupid. I actually love that movie. I make Mean Girl references all the time. You can't
Forgot.
sit with us.
I know. Our governor's
Anyways,
kiss me
so
through the phone.
okay. Yeah, Curtis needs to go to bed.
Oh man.
So anyways, that's it for this week. We got another missing persons, and we are touching back on the Holocaust again for the second week in a row. So I guess thanks for listening. If you want to send us some feedback, or actually if it's not nice, don't send it to us at all. But if you want to send us some good feedback, go ahead and send us an email at partnersincrimethepodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram to check out that map that I'm about to post a photo of so you can see all the places where Brandon was at, supposed to be, and didn't get to. And I'm going to post pictures of him and his parents as well. And then I'm not really sure I'm posting for your. I'll post pictures of the
In
Holocaust. And
remembrance
I'm
of
also
Holocaust.
going to try to find a picture of that Michigan State game.
Oh, you can definitely find it. It's a huge meme right now.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We hope you keep listening and have a good week.
Goodbye.
See you later. Goodbye.